This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Christian perspective on the news does not necessarily reflect the opinions of Radio K Pulpit or the on-air presenter, but is the independent viewpoint of the individual contributor. Please send an email to info@kpulpit.co.za should you have any further inquiries.
Christian perspective on the news.
Fridays, we spend some quality time with Dr. Peter Hammond. He is the founder of Frontline Fellowship, the Reformation Society, Africa Christian Action, as well as the William Carey Bible Institute. Morning, Dr. Hammond. Good to connect again.
Good morning, Brad. And yes, well, since we connected last week, the world has gone to war, and we certainly pray that this Middle Eastern war doesn't spread further. But it's already affecting Cape Town in different ways. The conflict in the Middle East has paralyzed shipping through the vital waterway, not just the Gulf of Hormuz and the Persian Gulf, but even people going through the Red Sea and the Suez Canal. So large amounts of shipping traffic is now being rerouted around the Cape of Good Hope. So we're going to see increased use of our port facilities for refueling and for servicing, repairs, and so on. That's going to happen because there's a whole lot of maritime insurance groups that are no longer covering war risk for anyone traveling through the Middle East. So there's no other alternative. The Cape of Good Hope is now it's the longer route that could increase some prices. There's certainly going to be an increase in the cost of fuel. We can see that crude oil is already trading around $80 a barrel, and so petrol prices are going to go up. Depends how long this war goes on, but 20% of the world's oil, and I think quite a lot of South Africa's, comes out the Persian Gulf. And with that being effectively closed, not totally closed, but it's at risk and there's threats, and there's been some attacks on oil tankers. And as a result, we're going to see greater increased amounts of ships coming around our harbors. Cape Town, Durban in particular, are going to see quite a lot more traffic as a result. Now, that's good for our economy in one sense. But on the other hand, we're going to see increased costs of a lot of things affected, because tankers and shipping container vessels are going to take the longer route, and that's going to increase costs in general. But the political risk with ships being sunk and insurances being withdrawn. Take, for example, an average $100 million oil tanker vessel. Mm. The cost now has increased for insurance from $200,000 a single voyage to about $1 million a single voyage. That's just insurance.
Wow.
So with insurances shooting up, that's going to have a knock-on effect for a whole lot of other services and materials. I even hear that there's predictions that crude oil could approach $100 a barrel if this shipping disruption continues and if this war drags out much longer. And so trajectory of prices, you can say, well, prices are going to go up, and we've already seen oil prices starting to go up, but they're going to go up more. And of course, from a Christian perspective, we're deeply concerned for the people in the Middle East as missiles are flying, people are dying, wars and rumors of war the Bible talks about, and there we are. But the Bible also tells us, what a man sows, that shall he reap. And it's worthwhile noting, amidst all the political rhetoric, that this is a problem that was created 47 years ago by the United States of America under President Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter, in most ways, is one of the worst presidents America ever had, betrayed the stable country of Iran under the Shah of Iran, betraying the Shah of Iran into the hands of the Ayatollah Khomeini's very radical revolutionary guard. And the knock-on effects are horrific. So 47 years the people of Iran have suffered by the same president, I might say, Jimmy Carter, who betrayed the governments of 13 other countries into the hands of communism, including Rhodesia to the north, where I grew up, And Rhodesia, which was a stable and peaceful country in many ways with a high education standard, virtually no unemployment. Nobody was starving in Rhodesia, even during years of drought, because it was such a well-run country. And today, they're under the ZANU-PF regime. Mnangagwa isn't much of an improvement on Mugabe. In fact, my friends there say, in some ways, it's gotten even worse since the death of Mugabe, if that even seems possible, because Zimbabwe reached rock bottom and 98% unemployment and such a disaster when half of the population flees the country. I think there's more Zimbabweans living outside Zimbabwe than living inside Zimbabwe right now. That's quite a vote of no confidence, but that's Jimmy Carter's legacy. He had a high foreign policy goal of toppling the Rhodesian government and the Shah of Iran's government. And this is not just my opinion. This is what Kissinger and a whole lot of others have said. In fact, Ronald Reagan said that America's betrayal of the Shah of Iran, rated amongst one of the worst stains in American history. And the Shah of Iran actually asked the American ambassador, why is your CIA so intensely involved in undermining my government? And this caused such chaos in the Middle East. It led to so many wars. Jimmy Carter's meddling in Afghanistan led to Russia's invasion in 1979, which led to a whole lot of chaos and suffering for the poor people there too. From the positive side, we need to note how the church has grown in Iran over the last years. In the last five decades, we've seen the church in Iran grow from 5,000 to over 300,000, and some estimates of missiologists are there could be 3 million Christians in Iran today. The church is growing a lot, so remember, when you think of what's going on in Iran, there are many Christians, hundreds of thousands, possibly millions of Christians in Iran. Iran's a great country. Iran is the size of Western Europe. It's a vast country. It's a country with over 3,500-year history. Persia was once one of the greatest empires in the world. This is a great country, a great civilization, advanced people. Well, you can see the advanced people. They've even got hypersonic missiles, which is something that should be causing sleepless nights for some American admirals, because I don't know that there's any countermeasures that can stop a hypersonic missile, and there's American aircraft carriers in the area. And we've seen, for example, the Theodore Roosevelt U.S. aircraft carrier visit Cape Town some years ago, and it was so big it couldn't fit in a harbor. It had to sit in Table Bay. There's more aircraft on one American aircraft carrier than most countries have in the entire Air Force. Hmm. There's more sailors on that one ship, about 5,000, than most countries have in the entire Navy. So you can just imagine the huge amount of money, expense, power in a single aircraft carrier, but a hypersonic missile could change that dramatically. And right now, there's been reports that the Iranian Navy vessels that visited Cape Town earlier this year are already sunk. It just shows how fragile life is and how fleeting life is, and we need to be ready at all times for that which could come at any time. But the legacy of Jimmy Carter is what we're dealing with, and Israel and America are busy cleaning up Jimmy Carter's mess, you could say. They're talking about the need for freedom for the Iranian people. Thousands of protesters have been shot in the past year. This is, of course, a pretty oppressive government. It's amazing how many people have been silent about the suffering of people in Iran. I mean, I know that our government is particularly positive towards the Iranian government, but they talk in South Africa about gender violence and concern for women's rights. But there's huge amounts of gender violence and very little women's rights in Iran. Women have been flogged, even shot, for not wearing the hijab and face veils. And you think of how badly women are treated in Iran and legally deprived of protections. Why is our government so positive towards the Iranian regime, which is extremely radical and violent? And, of course, the Iranian government has been chanting death to America for a long time, and somewhere along the line America is going to react. American Marines, hundreds of them, were killed with a middle of the night bombing attack on their base in Beirut, 1983. And you just think, and they were there on a peacekeeping mission. And you think of the large amounts of people who have died because of proxies, terrorists funded by Iran, which includes Hezbollah and Hamas, and how many innocent people have suffered from terrorists sponsored by this government. And then the Iranian government bribed our government in South Africa to take the State of Israel to the International Court of Justice at The Hague under charges of genocide, which many people could accuse the Iranian government of doing, what they've done to their Kurdish minority population and other people who've suffered there. The Iranian government is very oppressive, and they've certainly sowed in violence, and they're reaping the whirlwind. So while one's very concerned about American Israel shooting missiles into Iran and Iran shooting missiles all over the Middle East, there's extraordinary amounts of people being sucked into this war who we would have thought have got nothing to do with it. But that's the nature of wars. They can easily expand and aggravate and just accelerate. So we should be praying for peace. We need to be remembering the persecuted church, praying for the missionaries in the area. Amongst the positive forces in the Middle East, we should be praying for Middle East Christian Outreach, which is based in Cyprus, which seeks to help Coptic and Orthodox churches in the Middle East with Bibles and Bible teaching. There's Sat7 broadcasting the gospel 24 hours a day in Arabic, and they've got a full channel just broadcasting in Farsi, which is the language of Persia. They have another which is broadcasting from Cyprus, Sat7, into Turkey, and then they have another channel just dealing with children's programs.
Yeah.
And they get every day thousands of emails and requests for counseling, Bible study materials, people wanting to come to the Lord. And it's a wonderful ministry. So keep praying for Sat7, Mecca, and other Christian ministries in the area. Friends of ours and Youth with a Mission, Operation Mobilization, Frontiers. These are some of the missions that are working in the Middle East, and we need more of them, actually. Rather than sending in the Marines, it would be better if they sent in the missionaries. Instead of bombing people in the Middle East, it would be better if we bombarded them with gospel radio and ministry, audiovisual ministry online. We need more Bibles in the Middle East. Instead of sending in cruise missiles, how about sending in more Bible shipments and gospel booklets? We need to look at these areas not as targets, but as people for whom Christ died, who need the gospel of Christ. So I think it's absolutely vital that we mobilize our churches to pray during this difficult time, and especially for the church in Iran.
That's the voice of Dr. Peter Hammond. Thank you for that, Dr. Hammond, the founder of Frontline Fellowship, the Reformation Society, Africa Christian Action, and the William Carey Bible Institute. Here's to a really great weekend until we connect again.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.